We're calling this meeting to order. Are you going to read the statement?
After the pledge.
After the pledge. Okay, pledge allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
As per requirement of Public Law 1975, Chapter 231, notice is hereby given to the regular meeting of the Borough Crown Zoning Board of Adjustment, and all requirements have been met. Notice has been transmitted to the Asbury Park Press and the Tier River Times. Notice has been posted on the public bulletin board. You may take a roll call.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Ryan?
Present.
Mr. Fox is absent this evening. Mr. Anthony?
Here.
Mr. Gallagher?
Here.
Mr. Britton?
Here.
Mr. Knox?
Here.
Mr. Braswell?
Here.
Mr. Kutash?
Here.
Mr. Cervantes?
Here.
Okay, first thing on the agenda, zoning board application 2010-2 Metro PCS.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to move that we postpone our deliberation and vote on this matter for another month. I just received Mr. Beck's memorandum of law late last week, and Mr. Baxter's memo today, late today, and have not had a sufficient time to resolve it all and make a decision.
Okay. I agree that it was a lot of material to try to absorb. Anyone else have a feeling on that?
Well, I do, and I happen to agree with Mr. Gallagher for once. But it is quite a lot of information, and I would like time to look up these other case laws, more time to read it and think about it.
Okay, so we have Art's motion. You would be looking for a second.
Well, I would make that second.
Okay. Roll call.
Ms. Ryan?
Yes.
Mr. Anthony?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
Mr. Britton?
Yes.
Mr. Knox?
Yes.
Mr. Kutash?
Yes.
Mr. Braswell?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. We just need more time to read all the material.
For the record, Michael Beck, appearing on behalf of the applicant, Metro PCS, New York, LLC. When is the next available meeting that this matter will be heard?
We intend to take care of it at the next
July
meeting.
7th. July 7th.
Yeah. July 7th. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, next on the agenda, zoning board case number 2010-3, the Quick Check Corp, block 108, blocks 1 and 2.01.
Good evening, Chairman Braswell and members of the board. My name is Dan Madrid. I'm an attorney from a law firm of Stocks Rothschild. I'm here on behalf of Quick Check Corporation. Tonight's application is for preliminary and site plan approval. This is for a property located on block 108, lots 1 and 2.01. And this is property located in the HO zone in which the gasoline station use is not permitted. As the board is aware, we previously appeared for a use variance in a bifurcated application. And we received that use variance by resolution dated February 3rd, 2011. As a condition of the resolution, the board required that we submit for approval from various agencies, including New Jersey Department of Transportation, Monmouth County Planning Board, and DOT. Part of our testimony tonight will give you updates on what we're doing with regard to those applications. And additionally, as a condition of the variance approval, we require that we submit fully engineered site plans for preliminary and final site plan approval. And that's what we will be proceeding with tonight. In support of our application this evening, we'll be presenting four witnesses. First will be Keith Cahill. He's a professional engineer from the firm of Boulder Engineering. And he'll be testifying as to site plan issues. Our second witness will be Charles Olivo, who has previously testified before this board. He is from the firm of Stonefield Engineering. He will be testifying as to traffic engineering issues. In response to the board's concerns, we will also start presenting Eugene Gallagher of the firm Bellick Tully. And Eugene Gallagher is acting as an environmental consultant for QuickSet Corporation. He will give the board some information about our current due diligence undertaking, and hopefully answer some of the board's questions and alleviate the concerns with that regard. And finally, we are also bringing back Frank Marciano, who is the real estate manager at QuickSet Corporation. And he's available to answer any of the board's questions related to site operations or anything related to the store. And without further ado, I'd like to present my first witness of the evening, Keith Cahill. If I could have him sworn in, please.
Before we do that, Chairman, I reviewed the notice that the applicant sent, both the public notice and the notice of the property owners. My opinion, the notice is proper. The service was also proper, and in my opinion, the board has jurisdiction to proceed.
Thank you.
Mr. Britton is conflicted out of this matter, as he was in the prior matter.
Excuse me.
You too.
You're asking to be excused.
Pardon me. Not may I be excused.
Just so you know.
Specifically with the QuickCheck account for the past 10 years in designing their convenience stores and their service stations as well. I've worked for major oil companies as well at Boulder Engineering in terms of the service station components. I'm very familiar with the gas station retail 1 to 2 acre sites for this specific application. My other experiences within Boulder Engineering include retail facilities in excess of 50 acres, regional malls, larger residential projects as well, and industrial facilities. In all cases, I oversee the site plan design, the layouts, the parking, the stormwater management, the site components of the site plan aspect.
Mr. Cahill, have you been qualified as an expert in engineering for other boards?
Yes, I have, and I've been sworn in and accepted as an expert witness in excess of 100 boards throughout the state of New Jersey.
Mr. Cahill, have you had a role in preparing the site plan application?
I just asked if you licensed engineering state
in the state of New Jersey.
I move to have Mr. Cahill qualify as an expert in special engineering.
Okay, any problem.
Thank you very much. Good evening. First thing I'd like to do is just give an overview of the location of the site and the project. We were here previously for the use variance application. I know the board's familiar, but just to give the overall location of the site and the general uses in and around the facility. The site is known as Lot 1 and 2.01 and Block 1.08. It is total area of 1.324 acres. I'm going to refer to this exhibit as A1. And it's prepared by Boulder Engineering. She's 101 existing condition aerial exhibit dated 6/2011. For reference, to the top of the page will be north. You can see Route 36 running in the east-west direction along the south side of our site. Ocean Avenue, which runs along our north side of our site, is the two main roads. Further to the west is Orchard Avenue. The existing site on Lot 1 includes the existing doghouse restaurant. The building also has vacant space within it for those prior commercial uses on site. In addition to that, lot 2.01 is the existing storage facility. Just some other references in terms of what's around us. Just to our west is the existing car wash, actually vacant at this time, and a strip mall further to our west and Orchard Avenue. To the north, across Ocean Avenue, an existing residential trailer home facility. To the east is essentially the intersection of Ocean Avenue and Route 36, and then further down 36 is commercial properties. Across Route 36 to the south are residential properties in the township. So that gives you surrounding uses and the location of the site that we're known tonight as Quick-Check property. I'd like to go to next is next exhibit A2. This is entitled Existing Conditions Encroachment Exhibit, Sheet 101, prepared by Boulder Engineering, dated 6/2011. This is essentially the survey of the existing conditions. And what we've done is just enhance a few items, just to give you
some... today, right?
Dated today.
Okay.
Yes. 6/2011.
Okay.
For reference, again, north will be to the top of the page. And again, Route 36 going left to right in the east-west direction. As mentioned, on Lot 1 is the existing doghouse restaurant. And immediately adjacent to Lot 2.01 is the storage restaurant. Relative to the existing conditions of this combined site, there's numerous concerns or problems as it may sit today. One of which is, as we all know, is the existing contamination issue and the responsibility of Exxon to remediate the site. And we, as mentioned, we do have our environmental consultant with us, which will go into detail. So I just want to point it out as that's there today, nothing to do with us, and actually our application will actually be a vehicle to help move this remediation process along. In regards to the facility, the existing site is in approximately 90% impervious coverage today as it stands. There's no existing stormwater management system on it. Everything just sheet flows off onto both Ocean Boulevard and Route 36. I'd like to point out that Ocean Boulevard in this area, though it's a county road, the jurisdiction is actually the DOT. We've filed an application to the county. They've confirmed that and indicated they have no interest in this application. And subsequently, we've also had a pre-application meeting with the DOT, and they recognize that their jurisdiction is on Ocean Boulevard as well. Hence, the stormwater that leaves our site is going to the NJDOT system, and they will be evaluating it as part of their review of our overall application. And of course, your local engineer is also reviewing it. And I'll go through enhancements as part of our proposed development and the changes and the improvements to the existing system, to the on-site, which will obviously have a benefit to the DOT system. Also in regards to the existing site, the Stewart's property or building has the overhead canopy where cars park underneath to take their orders. Just want to point out that existing canopy is actually overhanging into the DOT's right-of-way, approximately 2.5 feet, as well as the parking for this facility in the right-of-way. Along the Ocean Boulevard side, there's approximately three parking stalls that actually extend into the DOT's right-of-way, and the trash enclosure is in the DOT right-of-way, shown on the north side of the property. Looking further to the to the east on the doghouse property, they have, if you're familiar and drive past the site, a large masonry wall that acts as a trash enclosure in essence that's right up along the Ocean Boulevard right-of-way. It's actually about 8 feet into the right-of-way. And if you're ever pulling out any of the driveways along this property, it acts as a nice block to see. You can't see when you're trying to look down there. Again, that physical structure is in the right-of-way. In addition to that, as you go further to the east on Ocean Boulevard, existing retaining walls and walks and fences are also into the existing DOT right-of-way. Along the Route 36 frontage on the doghouse property, they're parking there as well as approaching into the right-of-way. Just as another point of reference, the existing access points along Ocean Boulevard, starting at the Stewart's property, there's approximately 150 feet of just a pressed curb, the edge of pavement from the right of, from the roadway meeting the parking lot. There's no true delineation, but they actually have some parking bumper, parking stops in front of those three stalls, but there's nothing that delineates you if you're pulling into that without, you could potentially run over those things if the cars aren't there. It's poorly lit. I know that for a fact because when I came here in the winter time and looked at the site, I unfortunately ran over one of those parking stops. I wasn't experiencing a little repair on the side of my the undercarriage was required. But in any case, further down, so that you have a large 150-foot opening, not delineated, traffic can go any other direction, plus the existing structures along that frontage that's in the right-of-way really have a poor line of sight in either direction when you're trying to pull out. Moving further down on the Ocean Boulevard, as I mentioned, there's the masonry structure that's out there. There's two existing driveway cuts in excess of 60 feet on either side of that. And if you needed to look in one way or the other, again, that structure really provides, is a physical barrier to inhibit the movements coming out of there, creating an unsafe situation. So in and along Route 36, there is an entrance driveway up close to the intersection, and then an exiting driveway further to the west, so two curb cuts, and then onto the Stewart's property, there's two additional curb cuts there. Those curb cut widths are 65 feet, 70 feet, 92 feet, 70 feet in length, without any raised curbs or channelization of traffic, and if you had today, would not meet any of DOT standards. And as I mentioned, since Ocean Boulevard is also under the jurisdiction of the DOT, those existing curb cuts there also do not meet any of the DOT standards for geometry, which obviously are there for a reason, for safety reasons. So since in essence, they're the existing items on site that really have problems of operations or deficiencies in terms of operating from a safety standpoint. One last point I'd like to point out, show the board, is that from the grade change, working from west to east, there's approximately a 20-foot grade change from our property line, our farthest west property line, on the Stewart's property, down to the intersection of Ocean Boulevard and Route 36. In general, the slope up in this direction is approximately 5%, both along the sites and along the roadways, and obviously the stormwater would then channel down in the direction towards the east. So that gives you a good general idea of the existing conditions and what we were looking to redesign the site with the proposed improvements to improve the overall site aesthetics and the functionality of the site. I would like to point now to an exhibit. I don't know if I should just reference it from the use variance application, but I noticed you have brought it. It's A7 from the use variance application. And the only reason I want to show that is I want to bring up my next exhibit.
which is the site plan sheet 415 prepared by Bowler Engineering, which is in your site plan package. We've enhanced it with colorization.
Would you prefer to keep go?
I would prefer to keep going.
Okay. In terms of the numbering system,
we
think it would be better to continue where we left off. So instead of A1, 2, and 3 so far tonight, let me give you a number. We use different numbers. And that way it will all be contiguous and won't get confused.
Okay?
Yep. A1 tonight will be easy, just put 4 after. It'll be A14. that's the aerial. The existing conditions one with the encroachments, which you had A2, that'll be A15. And the one you were just about to mark, I'm not sure what it is, but it'll be A16.
It's a colorized version of the site plan?
Yeah.
Okay.
A15
is A2, correct? Is it only one page? No, I think you're right.
And A6 is
in the car. By the way, if there's people in the back that would like to see these, there's seats up here you could move to get a better view.
Okay, I'm just going to refer to A7 from the use variance exhibit, which is preliminary site plan exhibit 101 dated 12/1/2010, prepared by Bowler Engineering. And for reference, again, that's north to the top of page 136, so left to right. And what I'm holding in my hand is A16. And the whole purpose of me showing you this is that, in essence, if you look at what is proposed now in terms of a detailed engineered site plan versus what was here for the use variance, it was very minimal change from what we have from the use variance to what is proposed this evening. And I'll just refer to some critical elements, the size of the building being 4,543 square feet, the physical location of it, the number of parking stalls being 41 stalls, the location of those parking stalls, the size of the canopy being 90 by 47, the parking and driveway circulation in and around it, the access points off of Route 36 and the access points off of Ocean Boulevard, all are essentially the same. And I'd like to point out, obviously, the cell tower, which you all are well familiar with, that is actually on our property, is in its existing location to remain as our redevelopment. Again, referring to A7 to A16, I'd like to point out the one difference, the location of the underground storage tanks. The number, the size, all the same, being the 4 tanks, 220,000 gallon to 212. But what we did do is we relocated them to the east side of the canopy. That is the only change from this. Okay? I just wanted to make sure that the board.
Can you give us a concept of the distance change other than just relocating? Can you give us a quantification of the move?
Certainly. The tanks have been relocated to the east side of the canopy, sitting back approximately 20 feet from the canopy to the nearest tank. And the reasoning why we did this is for circulation purposes. When the tanker truck that drops fuel, it's dropping fuel and they drop off to the right-hand side, and the hoses will drop off onto this side. There's a 36-foot drive lane between the back of the parking stalls that are located on that east side of the canopy and the first dispenser. So in actuality, we could have the tanker truck dropping fuel off onto that side and still have a 24-foot drive aisle adjacent to our dispensers. In other words, it would have zero impact to the fueling operation, and we would not need to close any aisles. If the tanks remain on the north side, due to the lack of room to have the fuel truck sitting there, it would actually impact the operations of the pumps to some degree. Someone may have to jog and a tighter room in there. So we felt from an overall safety standpoint for the operations, we would move the tanks, would be out of the way, have minimal impact to the circulation in and around the dispensers.
Was that the only reason?
That's the primary reason.
Was that the only reason?
I'll answer it one other way. We had the very first exhibit, I believe this board was shown, the tanks were shown on the Route 36 side. And then the second exhibit, which I refer to as A7, showed it on the Ocean Boulevard side. That initial move was because the highest impact in terms of where the wells and things to that nature of the contaminated site were on the Route 36 side. So we flipped it over to the Ocean Boulevard side.
Right.
The same move, the move from Ocean Boulevard side to the east side of the canopy, there's really, again, it's a positive move as long as it's away from the 36, but really the only reason we moved it from Ocean side to the east side was just to improve the operational aspect. And the overall truck circulation is not impacted at all, and I have that exhibit to go through when we get there.
Keith, other than the relocation of the tanks, has there anything else that's been changed as far as the design of the tanks?
In regards to the tanks themselves, they're still double wall steel tanks, same models and makes that we described before with all the same safety features, everything to that nature. So nothing along those lines has changed. It's just the location of them. Okay? So that aside, I just wanted to give the board comfort. Change from when we were here last to now, that's basically the change. And at this point, I'll just go through in more detail the overall application and the proposal for this evening. Again, you're familiar with it. I'll go through it. If I'm boring you, give me one of these and I'll hurry it up or whatever you like. I want to make sure everyone's comfortable that what we're doing here is going to be a significant improvement to the overall site and be a safe and efficient operation for your community. Again, as I mentioned, we're proposing a 4,543 square foot convenience store. We are proposing 41 parking stalls in and around the facility with the access points off of Route 36. The driveway farthest to the east is an entrance point only, a right in. The driveway further to the west is a ingress and egress driveway, and again, in accordance with the NJDOT geometry standards. And they are, as I mentioned, in the same locations we previously showed for you. We're also proposing access off of Ocean Boulevard. The driveway farthest to the east is a full movement driveway. The driveway further to the west is an entrance-only driveway, which creates a one-way circulation on the west side of our building. So the back side of our building is essentially a one-way circulating lane that would allow traffic to enter in off of Ocean Boulevard, circulate either to park at the rear of the site or recirculate into our site to utilize the front portion for the service component or the fuel or the convenience store, or essentially just exit the site. In regards to the circulation around the balance of the site, it is a two-way circulating site. The drive aisles are minimum of a 25-foot drive aisle along the west side of the building. The drive aisles in and around the canopy are oversized in essence, but it's due to the circulation required in and around the canopy. So we have 37.5-foot wide drive aisles on both the north and south side of the canopy. We have 36 feet on both the east and the west side of the canopy. The parking stalls are all 10 by 20. As I mentioned, there are 41 of them, and the ordinance requires 18. I'd like to point out the 5 parking stalls at the rear of the site. We do anticipate allowing 3 of those stalls to be dedicated to the cell tower for whatever maintenance they may need at any time for a vehicle. But as I mentioned, the 41 stalls that we have will be sufficient for the quick check application and is exceeding the number required by your ordinance, even if we do subtract the 3 necessary for the cell tower.
Can I ask you why you don't have any sidewalks proposed?
Because,
you know, quick check, and again, if you want to use this existing people, a lot of them might walk there and you don't want to walk on the streets or anything else. Why you don't have any proposed sidewalks?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we look at is if there's any connectivity adjacent to us. In this entire block up the orchard, there is no existing sidewalks on any side. It can be viewed two ways. One, that sidewalks to nowhere encourage people to walk, and I don't know how much pedestrian activity we're really going to have in and along this area and up along the highway. Again, if it was something that was required by this board, we would take that to the DOT, because most likely it would require a highway occupancy permit and the locating of it in the DOT's right-of-way. But the reason why we're not showing it now is for that reason. There's nothing in and around it now, so it wouldn't go anywhere. Just to go back to some of the additional access points, as I mentioned, the proposed driveways all are designed in accordance with the DOT and will be reviewed by them when we are obtaining our access permits. Our traffic engineer is here, and he can update you in regards to where we are with that application process, actually the meetings that we've had in terms of pre-application for your benefit.
Okay, with regard to the employee parking, will there be spaces designated specifically for Quick Check's employees?
Well, typically we don't designate them as, hey, this is where our employees have to park, but what we do is encourage them to park in the farthest places from our store. From this site, there's a few areas that are obvious. The six spaces on the easternmost part of our site aren't convenient for our customers. Our business is about being convenient, and to locate the majority of our stalls as close to our building as possible. Those stalls will be basically not designated, but encouraged for our employees to park there. Again, as you work your way closer to the building, the farthest stalls from the site would be generally utilized by our employees. I think you heard some of the operational testimony during the use of this application. This facility would have somewhere between 10 and 12 employees in the maximum shift. Again, more than sufficient parking on site. We also would have stalls towards the rear. If three were to be completely dedicated, not to be used by the to be used by the cell tower, we have two additional stalls there. Again, would be somewhere we would recommend our employees to park as well. Again, only because it's the area where we have our loading and unloading for our store, and they're not the most convenient spaces to get to in front of our site. I would like to point out we do request
I don't know if you can answer. The existing cell tower now, I don't know who owns the property. I'm assuming the guy that owns Stewart's now owns that property. Right. Are you going to be taking over that lease since he's selling, if you buy the property? Or is he still going to own that piece of property? How's that going to work?
As far as the cell tower is concerned, the current property owner is granted an easement, a perpetual easement that runs with the land for the use of that area of the land for the cell tower and maintenance operations and access. So while we would not be in an agreement with them, they would still have that right. We have no contractual relationship with the cell tower owner. So they would have specific rights pursuant to their easement as far as being able to go onto the site and maintain it. There's certain expansion rights, and that's not, those aren't points of negotiation.
Basically, you're not going to own that piece of the property.
It would be subject, we would own it subject to the easement rights of the cell tower.
They own it for tax purposes.
Who's collecting the cell tower?
Yeah, who's going to be collecting the rent on it?
It was a sale.
Oh, it's
so it was a sale.
There is no rent. Okay.
In regards to the parking,
So in other words, that piece of property does not belong to the property that the Quick Check is on.
Yes, it does.
He just sold, said it was sold.
Well, no, he said he sold the easement.
The easement rights sold.
Yeah.
And then the owner of the easement rights allowed to sublease to other cell tower operators, but that's their exclusive right. They can operate for that purpose alone. And we have no control over the easement. We can't intrude on their easement right to operate as a cell tower.
Let me say it perhaps a different way. It's still a self-contained lot. Everything on there will be owned, assuming this is approved, and they put the two lots together. Both lots, including the cell tower, will be one property owner.
Which means Quick Check would own it.
Correct.
But the
rights to it would be whoever owned it before it, if they're collecting the rents to it.
Correct. The sell the easement to the for the, well, the rents are not any more concerned, but the right to use it runs with the land, runs with, you know, the land. So it's stuck. I mean, it's like taking it with a driveway through it to somebody else's property, similar in that respect. The person behind would have the right to use it in perpetuity.
Who owns that? Who owns that easement?
Who owns the easement?
The exact owner is
He bought an easement.
So you're talking about owning the property or on the easement?
Who owns the easement?
The name of the entity is T6 Unison Site Management, LLC.
Would you repeat that,
again?
Please?
Sure, it's T6 Unison Site Management.
Unison, spell it?
U-N-I-S-O-N. Site Management, LLC.
I was just thinking how this would affect the metro. This was sold.
That's not.
I don't know. I was just
worried about this case.
It's a separate case than I have.
Essentially, we've designed a site plan in and around their easement and have, in our view, improved this site from how it operates today. If you look at it now, there's no direct barrier or guidance from a car running into their fence. And obviously, as you can see from this, we're proposing curbing and landscaping or grass area, at least delineating or separating the travel ways from their fenced in area for their equipment. Just to go back.
Sorry, I can keep going. I just got one question later.
Okay. Just to go back to the parking, we do have our ADA compliance stalls immediately adjacent to the building, two of them. The overall, as part of the proposed parking, we are requesting setback variance for the location of the parking. Your ordinance does require it to be set back 10 feet. We are proposing, 25 foot setback. And obviously with this site and the angle that it is merging, really limits the ability to develop the site and keep our parking back because of the narrowness of the lot. However, I want to point out, we are improving the existing conditions. As I mentioned, the existing storage store is parking in the right-of-way. Doghouse is parking in the right-of-way. We are pulling it back. We are 5 feet approximately from the Route 36 right-of-way and 6.6 feet from the Ocean Boulevard right-of-way. Again, we are creating clearly delineated areas of curbing and circulation in and around the facility. We don't feel there's any safety hazard or any negative impact to the overall use of the site or to the zoning ordinance in the sense because of what, in essence, you can see also that there's a significant green space between the travel ways, both Ocean Boulevard and Route 36, to our property lines. So our parking is still set back from the travel lanes a fair distance. If you looked at where we encroach along Ocean Boulevard, we are about 20 feet away there from the actual travel lanes. But again, we will be requesting that variance for the setbacks of the proposed location with parking stalls. In regards to the location of the building, and as I mentioned, with the shape of this property, the ordinance has a 50-foot setback requirement for your front yard. We have front yards, obviously, on Ocean Boulevard and Route 36, and our side yard is our property line to the west. The existing building, or the proposed building location along Ocean Boulevard is 20.5 feet from the right-of-way. Again, the setback requirement is 50 feet. The canopy is to be 25 feet, again, from Ocean Boulevard. And our trash enclosure, which is just to the north of our building, is approximately 1.5 feet from the right-of-way lines. We have pulled these structures all within out of the existing right-of-ways. I think I forgot to mention the existing doghouse building actually encroaches on the right-of-way of Ocean Boulevard. So we've pulled these structures away. We've eliminated the line of sight concerns that exist from the driveways, again, due to the shape of this lot, the narrow nature of it, and as it converges, the building envelope is restricted drastically with that 50-foot front yard setback, therefore really minimizing any redevelopment of this site essentially would require some form of relief from your front yard setback. Therefore, again, we're requesting relief on the front yard side for our building, canopy, and trash enclosure. In regards to some operational and some loading items, again, it was described at the prior use variance, and I'll just reiterate some of that testimony. Part of QuickCheck's key to their safe and efficient operation is to try to separate loading zones from where the high activity pedestrians and vehicles are operating. many stores and small convenience stores don't have foresight or luxury of being able to apply a separate loading zone. We've designed this to be in the rear of the building, to have sufficient room to circulate our vehicles, to utilize that, to keep them out of the main thoroughfare where we have high traffic in terms of customers coming in and out, and the cars utilizing the fuel in the facility. We have a loading zone in the rear of the site. We also have, as I mentioned previously, where our tanks are. We've located that to enhance the operations of that drop. Bottom line is, as the truck loads, he's going to drop off the right side of his vehicle, meaning the operation of that employee dropping the fuel is behind the truck out of the travelways of the rest of the site. So he's protected. It's a separate area. That drive aisle is 36 feet wide there. The truck would take no more than 12 feet of that, and maybe on a slight angle to take that load. However, as I mentioned, would still allow the operations of the fueling component to it. So to continue while the drop would be occurring. Just from an operational standpoint, again, the hours of operation, as previously testified, is anticipated to be 24/7. The number of employees, as I mentioned, 10 to 12 in the peak hour. The number of deliveries, and that was previously testified to, is we anticipate from a fueling standpoint, 5 drops a week with the tractor trailer utilizing the site. In terms of the storage, a combination of tractor trailers delivering to the store and box trucks delivering to the store. We expect 4 to 5 tractor trailers delivering to the store itself related to the frozen food and the bread, frozen fruit and the general deliveries to the store itself. Again, utilizing the loading zone behind the site.
4 to 5 per?
Per week. And in addition to that, approximately 5 to 6 box trucks, the Frito-Lays, the soda truck per se, that could utilize either the loading zone or a parking stall per day, 5 days a week. And I'd just like to go to my next exhibit to show the anticipated truck routes, which again, I know you had an exhibit presented here before, which is consistent with it. I'm sorry, what was it?
This is A17, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry.
A17?
17.
A17 is the truck turning exhibit sheet 101, dated 4/15/2011, prepared by Boulder Engineering. Again, this is overlaid on the survey and site plan, proposed site plan. Again, to the top of the page would be north. As you can see, 36 is on the bottom of the page in the east-west direction. As indicated previously, the delivery vehicles would be the larger vehicles, the WB-50s. They would circulate as they head to the west on Ocean Boulevard, and would enter the driveway to the farthest to the west to utilize the loading zone behind the building, and then would utilize the farthest west driveway to exit back onto Route 36 and go back to the western direction. In a similar fashion, the fueling truck could, in essence, utilize either or driveway, but the more practical nature would most likely utilize the first driveway on the farthest to the east, enter into the site, circulate in and around the site. As you can see, it can circulate around the canopy, drop the fuel, and exit back out onto Route 36. Again, this is consistent with what was shown to the board during the use variance application.
Are these deliveries going to be mostly at night or some kind of off-peak hours?
Typically off-peak hours. Specifically, QuickCheck does have control of their delivery schedules. With the underground storage capacity that they have a lot of flexibility within their fuel aspect. Because they have the larger tanks. Typical delivery, the most that could drop is about 8,800 gallons in one drop. And as I mentioned, our tanks are larger than that. So we have some flexibility in that in terms of the time, because you're not going to be right down to the last minute in essence. So essentially, they would keep it at off-peak hours to minimize the impact on the on-site circulation. However, as I mentioned, that's why we have designed the site as we've done with specific loading zones, located tanks, to minimize any on-site circulation congestion during normal operation of this facility.
And Chairman Braswell, to the extent you have any additional questions about deliveries and how they time them, Fred Marciano is here. He has that information.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Just a question. Just one comment in regards to that exhibit. One of the comments in my letter was in regards to truck circulation off of Route 36. I did speak to the applicant earlier today. applicants I knew earlier today, but I'd like to have them provide some testimony as to why it's not shown off 36 and what their provisions will be.
Certainly. Thank you very much for reminding me. Essentially, the delivery route on 36 entering, let's take one at a time, the store deliveries, tractor trailer coming off 36 would be heading in the wrong direction of circulation. So we would encourage, obviously, to come off of Ocean Boulevard, so the circulation behind the building in the one-way direction to the south would be encouraged. As I mentioned, fuel drops are also on the right side of the truck. Therefore, when the truck circulates in the canopy in a counterclockwise direction, it lines up with its fuel drop on the right-hand side. If you pulled in off of Route 36, it can't make the hard right to have that happen. It would be circulating in a clockwise direction, therefore wouldn't be able to hit the fueling points, and in essence would have the employee towards the circulation in an unsafe condition. So that's why. The concern would be, how do our trucks know to do that? Why wouldn't they want to come in 36 and then caught up in that? In essence, QuickCheck uses the same vendors in terms of who delivers to them, in terms of the milk, in terms of the general deliveries to the store with McLean, and with their fueling vendors. So what QuickCheck does is indicate to them, hey, here's my approved site plan, and P.S., here's my engineer's truck turning. This is what we do for this site. We actually have an operational exhibit, operations limitation exhibit that we submit to them for QuickCheck to make sure that any condition as put on by this board would be shown to the person, the manager, so that the manager is also familiar with it and can instruct the vehicles. So that's how they manage it. And again, it's not like they only have one or two of these sites. They have repeat vendors, and that's they get used to, they get told what's going to happen when their site opens. So that's how it operates. Just to go through a few more points. In regards to the gas components, as I mentioned, we are using a double wall system. Tanks are fully in compliance with the NJDEP Bureau of Underground Storage Tank regulations in terms of overspill protection, overfill protection, the monitoring aspect, as well as corrosion protection. In each one of those cases, QuickCheck has a system that would meet and exceed what is required by the state. They have double wall overspill protection 5-gallon buckets that utilize at fill ports. They have an alarm system that, that prevents the overfill protection by choking it off at a 90% and 95%, where 95 is an automatic shutoff. There's also alarms located at visually and then an audible alarm that would alert the driver when those conditions are hit. But actually at 95 is a valve that shuts off and doesn't allow any more fuel to get into the tank. That is, again, in and above what is required by the state. In terms of monitoring, they do have a in-con system that basically is a continuous monitoring system that is an inventory, that is every drop of gas that goes into the system and every gas that's dropped that's coming out of the system. That is continually monitored on a daily basis, as well as being monitored back at the home office. Again, there is alarms within the monitoring systems in the double wall tanks, in the low point sumps, in the sumps in the tanks, as well as the dispensers, the sumps under each dispenser. The product lines of double wall system, double wall fiberglass product lines that come into the containment of the dispensers themselves. And then in each dispenser, there are shear valves that would prevent, heaven forbid, someone drives off with the hose stuck in their car. It shuts off at the dispenser so fuel doesn't keep coming off, and as well as encapsulates what's in the actual hose. And likewise, if some errant person came and broadsided the side of the dispenser, again, there's shear valves that shut off that prevent fuel to continue out from both the top side and the bottom side, double wall shear valves. Again, these are things that are above and beyond what is actually required by law, but again, is the latest and greatest technology that QuickCheck utilizes for their facilities. In regards to utilities for this site, we anticipate getting all of our electric, gas, telephone, and water off of Route 36. We have our sanitary sewer connection off to Ocean Boulevard. I would like to touch on the storeroom management. As I mentioned before,
The site is existing 90% impervious coverage with no true stormwater management system in place. It just sheet flows off. With the redevelopment of this site, we are proposing curbing with that inlet to collection system that will collect the stormwater and discharge it off. The significant benefit here, just from a stormwater management aspect, is that we're reducing impervious coverage by an excess of 10,000 square feet. So we're bringing that impervious coverage number from 90% down to 72.8%. So as I mentioned, a reduction of 10,475 square feet, which is an approximate quarter of an acre. That in itself reduces not only the rates of water that leaves this site, but also the volume of water that leaves this site. It's a contaminated site. We have no interest in trying to recharge water, but just by the nature of reducing the overall impervious coverage, there's less water that's going to be leaving the site because there'll be more seeping into the ground.
Can I back up just 1 second to the utilities?
Yes.
Will they be going overhead or underground?
Great question. The pole farthest on the to our west, right along the property line, is where we're going to be taking our drop. As of right now, as you know, in construction, when you go out there, the utility companies say, oh, no, I want to come over to this one. But all of our requirements are at this pole, so we intend to take it from there and take it underground into our building. Okay. Obviously, our sanitary and our water will be underground and our gas as well.
Okay, good.
And back to the stormwater management. In addition to that, as we collect the stormwater, the two roofs will be discharged out to the existing storm inlet on Ocean Boulevard and Route 36. The rest of the site will be collected in a underground storm collection system, go through an oil water separator, 1,000 gallon oil water separator, and then discharge out to an existing inlet in the right of way. Ultimately, as I mentioned, the whole site is sloped down to the east, and we are channeling all of our water in the same direction. Your engineer has a couple stormwater management questions that we've discussed with him. We have no concerns with providing what he needs to make sure that there's no concerns with the existing piping. And again, as I mentioned, this is all DOT storm system. They will also be reviewing it as part of their application process.
Are your leaders from the canopy and the building underground?
Yes, they are. Both the building and the canopy go underground and discharge directly into the existing inlets on the roadways. So we're trying to minimize the amount of water sheeting on the site. And again, we minimize what's leaving the site and out into the right of way because it's being collected on site from our curbing and inlet.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask my engineer a question. The stormwater that will leave the site and go on Ocean Boulevard ends up going down. Goes down into Highlands via Linda.
The stormwater that leaves the site towards Ocean Boulevard will be in a system that runs along Ocean Boulevard and ties into the system at 36. So essentially, whether they discharge towards Ocean Boulevard or towards 36, they come to a common point, basically at the point of the triangle.
Okay. But then goes down Linden.
From there it goes.
Where do you go to Waterway?
I think I'm going to swear, Rob. Rob, you want to raise your right hand? Just swear you nice we have on the record. Nope. Swear a testimony you give before this hearing will be the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth.
Okay.
And Rob, Katie.
So from the intersection of Ocean Boulevard and 36, the stormwater goes directly south. To another inlet, which then goes back east. So yes, it does go in that direction.
It goes along the highway. But at what point does it turn and go down Highlands? Go down to the Highlands, downtown Highlands.
That is not indicated on the plan.
Probably beyond that.
Definitely beyond the plan. But within the plan, the stormwater goes from the point of the triangle south, off the highway, south, and then continues east within the plan sheet, and then from there it goes into the islands, which is not shown.
Do,
Do you think it's going to significantly increase the amount of storm water we have to handle down the Highlands?
No, I don't believe so. We did have some questions in regards to the amount of flow, but by reducing the amount of impervious surface on the site, they're reducing the amount of runoff leaving the site overall. Therefore, there will be a reduction in runoff going towards the site. And per NJDEP requirements, they are not allowed to increase the amount of runoff leaving the site. Okay. Right. The nice thing is it's an instant reduction in volume as well.
That's
we're modifying some of the direction to the inlets, and if your engineer asks, it will show that we're under the existing hydrographs in all cases for a 10 and 100 year storm. But this is a benefit by having a significant reduction.
It doesn't take a 100 year storm for us to.
Understood.
I think this storm water ends up going down Waterwich and ends up in the Huddy Park area of town. And just one good hard rain will exceed the capacity of that system, and it's in the street, it floods the park, it's everywhere. So this would be an improvement.
Significant improvement. In regards to lighting, we will be providing LED lighting, the energy efficient fixtures throughout the site. QuickCheck is moving towards being more green, not only exterior in terms of their light systems, but also all the equipment they use internally to reduce their carbon footprint in general. The LED fixtures on the site lighting, the site lights are 15 feet in height. We use house side shields where with the proximities to our property lines to minimize any glare off of site. We meet the 0.2 foot candles up along the DOT right of way. We do have a waiver request in regards to the maximum of 0.5 foot candles at a property line. I'd like to point out where that is. At the driveway adjacent to the cell tower. Reason being is the cell tower's lease area is actually right up against our curb line, and we don't have sufficient room to drop a light pole on that side of the driveway. We need to locate it on the east side of the driveway, which in that location of our trash enclosure, we have very little room between the property line and that fixture. So immediately underneath of that light, or 4 feet, 4 feet to the right, 4 feet to the north is the property line, 6 foot candles. I'd like to point out though, by the time I get to my curb line, which is almost 16 feet away, I'm down to like 1 foot candle, and then out into the travel lane into that 0.5. So I understand that the intent of the ordinance is obviously to make sure we don't have any negative impacts to adjacent residents or have a problem over glaring on somebody's property. Overspilling onto the right of way. And let's face it, it's in the driveway where obviously there's more circulation traffic. A little extra light isn't going to have a negative impact from a safety standpoint on that. So I am requesting it there physically because I don't have much room to really make that light yet. I still need to illuminate this area both for the trash operation as well as just from the driveway safety operation. So I am requesting a waiver for that. The same situation occurs at the driveway along Ocean Boulevard here. In this case, the light level is far less. It's, I guess it's 3.3, but what I'm looking to do is achieve a light level of about 1 foot candle in and around the curb line, and that's why. My light is pulled back, this is where I'd like it to have, but again, as I mentioned, you got about 15 feet between my property line and that gutter line. I want to have that gutter line where the movements of vehicles are illuminated approximately 1 foot candle. So that's why I have that waiver and request it. And again, it has no negative impact for any residents. It cuts off to a zero by the time you get out towards the center line of the road. So that's where it is. Again, anything towards the west, again, we cut off and meet your ordinance requirements. So I would do respectfully request that waiver if your board and your engineer agrees with what it how we've aligned this and the reasoning for it.
Yeah, I'm less concerned about the light fall off that goes into Ocean Boulevard and the highway. more concerned about the light that would reach residential areas to the south and to the north.